Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood on one on this bank of a stream, and one on the that bank of a stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, and he raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. And I heard, but I did not understand. And then I said, "Oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But those who are wise shall understand." And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go on your way to the end, and you shall rest, and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. It's the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Jim, can you touch the space bar on that? Thank you. Won't it be nice someday when we no longer suffer from technical difficulties? And wow, in our age, of all the advancement that we've come to, we now suffer from technical difficulties all the time. We'll talk about that a little bit on further into the sermon. So here we are. We've come to the final chapter of the book of Daniel, a book that spans nearly the entirety of Daniel's life, from his earliest youth all the way into his late 80s is when he received this particular vision. So nearly the entire span of his life we have here recorded for us. In peaks and valleys of the book of Daniel. But it's not just a book about Daniel's life. It's a book about life. As we had mentioned earlier, that the sum and the end of the matter in its entirety. And in that book, we see that it is a book of patterns. Increasing patterns of prophecy, increasing patterns of resolve, unfolding prophecy, the word of God being given and unfolded, written by the prophets before Daniel, unfolding prophecy received by Daniel himself. and also written by him, as he became aware that not only he was not only serving himself, but in the things that he wrote, but those who would come after him. Even up to the time of the end of the age. Concerning the great mercy of God and the salvation of his people. From beginning to end. Everyone whose name will be found written in the book. The Lamb's Book of Life. The very book that all of those names are recorded in, even before the foundations of the world. And we see it, we've seen in the text as we have gone through it, from the very beginning, even as a youth, having grown up in the bankrupt culture of Jerusalem, Daniel was well prepared to live in exile in Babylon. From his youth, he not only knew but believed what he had been taught of the law and the prophets. We see him referencing scripture, searching scriptures throughout the book of Daniel. We see him referencing the law and the prophets throughout his prayer in chapter 9. He knew these things. He knew enough, even in his youth, that instead of going the way of Babylon, Daniel resolved to go another way. The way of faithfulness to his God. Not merely for his own sake, but for the sake of God. Of God's name. And for the sake of God's people. Daniel was not an individualistic Christian. It was not just for his own way, but for the sake of God and for the sake of his people. We see that in his prayer. Again, and we see it throughout the scriptures, his concern for what's going to become of his people. And we know we were introduced to three of those people early on in the book of Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who also joined Daniel in his way, going his way, turning to faithfulness to God. In their faithfulness to God, we saw that they faithfully served the king of Babylon, even. They served faithfully beside Daniel all of their lives. They prayed with Daniel and for Daniel. And like Daniel, they were men resolved even to the point of laying down their own lives not to defile themselves by serving and worshiping the gods of Babylon, which are simply idols, which are simply self-worship. And throughout their entire lives in Babylon and every trouble they faced in this way, we read only and ever that God showed them favor. And he blessed them. He showed them compassion and he prospered them. From the food that they ate to the mercy they sought as they sought understanding and even as they faced certain death. Fiery trials and in the dens of lions. God blessed them in this way. A repeating pattern of increasing troubles, increasing in severity, requiring increasing resolve, made possible by increasing favor and blessings throughout their entire lives. Chief of which came in the form of prophecy. The Word of God. Words from God. Given in visions and dreams of repeating patterns with ever-increasing detail, not all that different from the parallelisms that we find in Hebrew poetry. Verse upon verse, saying almost the same thing with adding something slightly new in every line. It's the way Daniel wrote. He's a Hebrew. But we see this in ever-increasing details of events and things to come. Some seemingly in Daniel's lifetimes, others obviously beyond his lifetime, and some even extending all the way to the end of time. And due to the similarities between the types and the antitypes within these patterns, sometimes it was hard to tell when these things would take place. There were visions and dreams of things that often left Daniel confused, dismayed, alarmed, anxious, appalled, and at times so fearful that they changed the color of his complexion. I actually looked that up on the internet. People can be scared to death. Scared so badly that their bodies increase an insulin type of reaction that stops their hearts. Of course, your complexion would change if your heart stops. They changed his complexion. They left him sick for days, pleading with the Lord, his God, for mercy while fasting in sackcloth and ashes, mourning for 3 straight weeks, 21 days. Things concerning the outcome of all these things, which he had been shown and told concerning what would happen to his people, and so to him. The outcome of times to come, as well as the outcome of time at the end, when the archangel Michael and his great prince, the great prince of Daniel and his people will arise. A time of trouble such as never been seen since there was a nation of Israel. When Daniel's people would be delivered. Every one of them whose name is in the book. When many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. And those who are wise and turn many to righteousness will shine like the brightness of the sky above and like the stars in the heavens forever and ever. Within a time, times, and half a time. When the shattering of the holy people will come to an end. All these things would be fulfilled. Things about which both Daniel and the angels inquired, because neither fully understood. Things, says Peter, some 600 years later, things concerning this salvation. That's what Daniel's talking about. That's what God is revealing to Daniel. Things concerning this salvation, the same salvation, says Peter, in which the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, caused us to be born again into a living hope and into an inheritance, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, being kept for us in heaven, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. The same grace prophesied long ago with the prophets that was to be yours, says Peter, through the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Things which the prophets carefully searched and inquired of, in which it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. things into which the angels longed to look. These things concerning this gospel revealed to Daniel then for the same reason they are being revealed to us now. And will continue to be revealed to God's people until the end of time. That we, like Daniel, may go our way. Live our lives in the light of what God has promised to come. Rejoicing in our salvation. Though for a little while, if necessary, as Peter continues, we are grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of our faith may be found to result in the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And like Daniel and the angels, that's all we need to know. That's all you need to know. It's enough to understand that God is sovereign. That He rules the kingdoms of men and puts on them, gives them to whomever He pleases. That it's all a part of His plan. He is sovereign and He is good. He has a plan that involves the suffering of His people in order to fulfill it. Just as it involved the suffering of His Son. The suffering that won't last forever. We know that He is with us always until the end. When the time comes, if our bodies are asleep in the dust of the earth, they will be awakened to everlasting life, and we will be made to shine like the sun. That's what it means when the theologians say glorification. To be glorified in the presence of God forever and ever. And until then, many will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. A vanity of vanities is the wisest of men who knew all too well. He who increases knowledge apart from the word of God increases sorrow. And all his days are full of sorrow. And his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also, says Solomon, is a vanity of vanities. And consider for just a moment the statement. Many will run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Consider just for a moment. We live in an age when humanity has the wherewithal to build artificial intelligence. To collect and process continuous streams of unfathomable amounts of data. To generate the most rapidly expanding mass of knowledge ever dreamed of in the history of the world. And their computers, their algorithms, they never stop amassing knowledge, collecting data, collecting information, amassing knowledge. They never stop. And all the time, the leading philosophy of our culture, of the most technologically advanced culture in the whole world today, is relativism. A philosophy whose core belief is that there is no truth. Only knowledge. Under which we have become the most distracted, to and fro, anxious, restless, burnout people to have ever inhabited the planet. Isn't that ironic? People will run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. We will even create computers to hold knowledge that our heads can't possibly acquire. And all under the philosophy that there is no truth. And without truth, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, you will never understand. There will never be understanding apart from truth. And everyone claims to know the truth these days. Everyone. Their own private truth. Even those who insist, even the relatives who insist that there is no truth. They want to believe, want you to believe that they're telling you the truth. So which is the truth? Which way will you go? God tells us in the scriptures that He alone is God. He is Elohim, the Almighty, the Creator of all things, that He made everything out of nothing, and He sustains them by the will of His power, just as He sustains His people by His power through faith. And He will do so to the end. God tells us that He alone is God, that He has only one Son, Jesus Christ, to whom we should listen. One Son with whom He is well pleased. Who Himself has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that we should listen to Him. Because if you hear Him, you hear the Father. If you see Him, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. You hear the words of God. And He also tells us that there is only one gospel. And that is entirely dependent upon the mercy, grace, and power of God alone for salvation from beginning to end. And we know that from Daniel himself that he didn't know or understand everything. We read it even in the final chapter of the book. He didn't know everything. He didn't understand everything. And yet we know that he knew this gospel. Because he knew that there was a God in heaven who did know everything and did understand everything. Who ruled the kingdoms of men and did as He pleased. Because He alone is sovereign and He alone is good. And Daniel knew this from his youth. From his youth, he knew these things. And if you know this God and you believe this gospel, you don't have to understand everything either. You don't have to know everything. If you know the one true God in Jesus Christ whom He has sent, this is eternal life. Now and forever and ever. You already know enough if you know this God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And as the angel said, go your way. Do you know this? Go your way. Go your way till the end. Because your way is the faithfulness to God, if you know this God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Your way is faithfulness. Go your way. With absolute certainty that you will rest and stand in your allotted place at the time of the end. Absolute certainty. Go your way. And if you don't know this God and His Son, Jesus Christ, then turn your face to the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your face towards Him. Set your heart to understanding and humble yourself before God. And pray. Ask Him. Ask to know Him. Jesus said to those who come, I will never cast you away. You seek, you will find. You knock, I will answer. And I will never let you go. Because that's the will of my Father. Do you understand that? Jesus does the will of His Father. He did it perfectly. He does it perfectly always. The will of His Father is that He should lose none whom He gives to His Son. Jesus will not lose you if you come to Him. And He will never let you go. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Scriptures say, the Psalms tell us, the Proverbs tell us the same. All those who practice it have a good understanding. They don't have just knowledge. They have a good understanding. They are wise. They get wisdom from the knowledge they obtain. And it begins with the fear of the Lord. It is as Daniel was told, many shall purify themselves, make themselves white and refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, because they suppress the truth. Without the truth, there is no wisdom. There is no understanding. It's just knowledge. People who keep learning but never understand. People who have no peace. The wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And this is where we will close our prayer. This section at the last verses here of this passage are somewhat of a conundrum. Again, it's hard to tell since verse 36 of chapter 11, this has all been future, about the Antichrist, about the end times. But this passage seems a little out of place. It seems as if it works itself back to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. And it may just be a closing remark to Daniel and to his people about the certainty of what he's just been told. With the giving of the numbers, 1,290 days. Verse 11, and from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, approximately 3.5 years. Which is precisely the time from 167 B.C. when Antiochus Epiphanes set up the image of Zeus in the temple. The abomination that makes desolation, to the time of his death and the rededication of the temple by the Maccabeans in 163 B.C. If that's when this is talking about, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. And blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335th day. 3 years, 3.75 of a year. Just after that. There are many Jews who compromise the covenant. And there are many Jews who held fast, Jews who knew their God and suffered through these things of Antiochus Epiphanes. And by 3 3/4 years, they were worshiping in the temple again. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you have given us so much in your word and scripture. You who know the beginning from the end, you who have decreed all things, along with the means by which you will bring them to pass, every king, every nation that you have ever established and set up and brought down, Lord, all for your purpose, all for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, we praise you in revealing all of these things to us. We thank you that this is not just a foretelling of history. It is your word that we have before us. Your inspired word by which you declare yourself sovereign, by which you declare yourself faithful. And Lord, not only declare, but you prove yourself all of these things. And so, Lord, we thank you for this encouragement that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit in us that allows us to even perceive and to understand these things. To understand simply the gospel of knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ you have sent, and knowing what he has accomplished through suffering. And what he now gives us by your mercy through grace, and only for his merits. Eternal life. Never to be lost, and always to be increased throughout our lives. The knowledge of it, the perfection of Christ in us, more and more as we live, and all the more perfectly and completely at his return. Father, we ask that you would bless us now to go our way. Our way, which is your way, a way of faithfulness to you, a way of faith and belief in you and in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the days of our lives, being sanctified by your Spirit and growing more and more, not just in knowledge, but in wisdom and understanding. Father, we praise you for this. We thank you for it. We thank you for giving us peace through the grace that Jesus Christ has made possible. And that by your great mercy. And we praise you this morning and ask you to bless us now as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.